Good evening, friends. Glad you could come. Glad you could sing. I know you may be too busy and distracted to be much in the Christmas mood right now, but that's why we do this. Christmas is for now, not just 3 weeks from now when everything's chill. It's for now. All right. I'm not going to read our text because it's already been written. We're going to consider together Luke chapter 2. And by the briefest introduction possible, I will simply say, Luke was written by a guy named Luke. And he was not one of Jesus' first-hand mates. He wasn't there. As a skilled historian, he sought out resources. He sought out witnesses. And what you have in the Gospel of Luke is a very, very earthy, well-researched, ground-up kind of view of Jesus' life and ministry. Luke's also a very skilled and beautiful writer. And so what you have is this really earthy, really beautiful account of Jesus' life. And we see that even with his birth. So we'll talk about this text. I'm not going to read it, but I will pray for it. So let's pray. Our Father, we ask you be kind. Show us wonderful things in your word. Show us in particular the beauty of your coming, Lord Jesus. Would you prepare us for your coming? We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I ask this question at least occasionally because I'm not even afraid of being out of touch. I just know I'm out of touch. Just want to know how out of touch I am. So what's the most recent amazing thing that you've seen that you just had to share? That's a real question. The most amazing thing that you've recently seen that you just had to share. Anybody?
A baby Yoda meme?
A baby? Yes, it's going viral. That's right. Yeah.
Thanksgiving when the Cowboys lost.
Oh, that was wonderful. I agree. It was beautiful. Somebody over here say something?
On the Cybertruck.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, one more.
Irish hurling.
Irish hurling.
Great sport.
It's a violent sport played by drunken Irish people. Not all of them are that way. Just the ones that keep doing it. Okay, well, you know I have this thing too. When I'm really excited about something, I share it. And it's usually an album that none of you ever go and listen to. And I don't blame you. And just like the things you're excited about that everyone sees that goes viral, I never see them. Because I am pretty convinced that most of them are either fraudulent or will soon disappear into history as just the latest fad. And that's a pretty cynical way to go through life. But that's the way you are with me. You don't listen to my albums. So anyway, we're equal. How's this? What if there was something so utterly amazing that even those like me, the least likely to be impressed by anything, broke out in shouts of joy? And what if there were something so utterly amazing that it had the power not only to captivate you for a moment, but to transform you, to transform your ordinary existence for a lifetime? Because that's what we see today. To be actually more exact, we see others see it, and we get to witness it happen. Good news of a humble king that changes everything. Not in Philippians, but still, everything changes. So we'll look at the text and we'll see a king's arrival and an amazing king's humbleness and a king who is for you. And, you know, perhaps you haven't been waiting very long. At this point in Luke, we've been waiting about 9 months. That's how long we've known Mary is pregnant from chapter 1. If you're Israel, you've been waiting at least 400 years for this arrival. So there's anticipation. Even if you don't have anticipation, there's anticipation for this arrival. And in verse 6, it's described, while there, the time came and she gave birth. Given all the waiting, this is the simplest, briefest telling possible. This is everyone gathered in anticipation and dad sticks his head out the hospital room and says, it's a baby, and disappears back in. Like, that's what we get, actually. And then when you consider the initial appearances, verse 7, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That's just like any baby. Only maybe even more lowly than you would expect. Because after chapter 1 and the description there and the things we read about in Isaiah 9, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, you might expect a baby born in a palace wrapped in silk. Actually, you wouldn't be out of your mind completely in light of those grandiose promises, maybe to expect a baby from a spaceship. Like, these are otherworldly expectations put on this child. And this first baby pick of Jesus is 6 pounds of vulnerable little dependent child. And if you take a slightly bigger picture of Luke chapter 1 thus far, it's actually even more lowly than that. It's a picture of a poor family who, at the whim of a guy in Rome, Caesar Augustus, who decides, he makes a decision and issues a decree, and the whole world listens. That's verse 1. Because of that, this family has to march 90 miles to register. And if you're a careful reader, you might note that that's recorded 4 times. To register, to register, to register, to register. Why is that a big deal? Well, because, little baby, I own you. I own everybody. I mean, if this promised one's supposed to be so significant, he sure seems insignificant. He's getting bossed around from place to place by the guy that rules the world in Rome. And yet, what if there is a bigger picture still? One as big as the Bible, as big as the promises of God, as big as history. And there's just a little hint here in verse 11 that something like that is being alluded to. Born this day in the city of David. And there's just enough crossover between that picture and a bigger picture in the Old Testament for some to notice city of David. Child was the son of David. 2 Samuel 7, the promised son was to come from David. Micah 5 told us he would be born in Bethlehem. If I squint real hard, maybe this picture does look like that big picture. And that's what's going on, that despite the humble appearances, what we have is a baby who's exactly where he's supposed to be, is exactly who God says he is, and Caesar is an unwitting agent in God's plan. Something amazing, despite appearances, has arrived here. And if you're the kind of person that's like me and you're slow to buy into something that's supposed to be amazing, then what's it take? What's it take for you? If you're like me, it takes an expert. It takes an expert's witness. And that's what you get next. You have experts witnessing to this amazing king. In verse 8, they burst onto the scene, much to the surprise of shepherds. If you're not familiar with Scripture, but you have the impression that a miracle happens every day, that's not what a miracle is. They almost never happen. That's why they're miracles. They almost never happen. And so the shepherds are utterly astounded when the angel of the Lord appears and glory shines around them. They're filled with terror because, again, this doesn't normally happen. And they announce, this is a very paraphrased version in verses 10 and 11, hey, there's a baby. He's the Savior. Like I said, very much paraphrased. And he's amazing. I didn't go into the details of that because I want you to wrap your head around this. What's going on here? Angels from heaven who are daily witnesses of whatever amazing things go on in heaven. That's what they do every day. They witness amazing things in heaven. They come down to shepherds and say, the most amazing thing ever has happened right over there. Right over there. Go see it. What would make heaven so excited about this baby? Why is heaven so excited about this baby? And in verse 10, the angels tell us this is good news of great joy for all the people. This is heaven making a birth announcement. Since you've not had children, when it's pretty perfunctory when you have a kid to tell people because they want to share your joy. And I don't know if I've shared the story recently or not. I feel like I have. But with my second child, I decided to make a questionable decision. Does this sound familiar to anybody? And good. Good. Sometimes I'm terrified. I'm sharing the same stories every week. With our second child, I decided to have a little fun. And my wife and I, it was mostly my decision, or at least my corrupting influence. I decided it would be really funny to tell no one at all that we were pregnant. Not family, not friends, literally no one. The people would say stuff like, "How's she feeling?" I'm like, "She's great." Like, they would have to come out and say, "Is your wife pregnant?" before I would say yes. Like, we were at my family's house for 3 days and no one said anything. Just complete awkwardness for days. I thought it was great. Until I walked into a church in St. Louis and one of my friends walked up to me and cussed at me and said, "Derek Bates, you would do this." And afterwards, my wife, sort of reflecting this friend's frustration, said, "I don't want to do that again." And, you know, my entertainment's not worth everyone else's loss. But she said this in particular: "I missed out on sharing the joy. I missed out on sharing the joy." And heaven won't miss out. Heaven comes and announces the joy that there is a baby here, and it's an occasion for celebration, and this joy, this peace is for you. And they tell of this child's surpassing greatness. In verse 11, "Unto you is born this day," and there's three really important words all in a row: "a Savior, Christ the Lord." A Savior, one who is able and willing to save. Christ, the promised chosen King that we've been waiting for. The Lord. That word in the original language has a really broad semantic meaning. By which I mean, it can mean lots of things. It can mean anything from like, sir, just a respectful title, to God. So context is important, determining. So far in this little book, it's not very little, but it's a little so far. In the first chapter, the word has been used 20 times. And every time it's been used, it refers to God. And on the 21st time, Luke says, the angel says, this baby is the Savior Christ the Lord. What we have is a divine, a godly King in the flesh who's come to save. This is greatness in very humble form. You got to scratch your head at the paradox here. This is greatness, verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This is not typical first century neonatal care. What they're saying is, okay, go look for this King of surpassing greatness that we've told you about. And if you see an unusually simple and humble baby, you found him. The shepherds have no problem with this. They go. They do as they are told. But I think we have a problem with this, with the tension between his commonness and his greatness. I think we've come so often to expect the awesome and the significant to look shiny, be popular and well recognized, and to feel epic and easy. We've come to expect that. And if that's the way we consistently think and live, we may miss it or even dismiss Jesus to chase all the shiny things in our life, which might appear more amazing. We could spend our life running right past Jesus, this amazing King, because make no mistake about it, he comes in humble form. He will always appear in humble form. Things will almost always appear more shiny and important to us. It's really hard for us to hold the amazing King and the humble Savior in one hand. But we have to, because that is the good news. That we have a great King able to save who's humble enough to come down to do it. To come down for us. So the last part of this good news is that He's a King for you. And we can know He's a King for us because He's a King for the shepherds. Verses 10, 11, and 12 are really cool. I love this. I can imagine you're a shepherd. Imagine you're a shepherd. You've gone to shepherding school. So you're out in the field doing lab, and you're blasted senseless by the fact that angels have just shown up in your lab. And you're terrified. This has never happened. This wasn't part of the syllabus. And what happens is, you're dumbfounded, but what they say is dumbfounding too, because you're just a shepherd. The angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Do you hear that? I bring you. And I can imagine the shepherd saying, like, me? Verse 11, unto you is born, me? Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find him. Me? Three times, the angels make it really clear. This is a King for you. With you. It's easy to imagine them, again, thinking, for me? And the angels make it really clear. Yes, for you, for all the people, all kinds of people everywhere. So that leaves us with one big question. If the good news is for you, what should you do? And the answer is pretty easy. You should be like the shepherds. Okay, I'll unpack that for you. All right, so the angels tell them in verses 15 and 16, go and see, and they do. They say, let's go see what's happened. The Lord has made known to us, and they went with haste. I love that little phrase, with haste. Because when you consider the amazing claims that are being made here, the high stakes, joy, peace, good news for all the nations, it's pretty shocking how slow we are. I'm talking about us that know Jesus. How slow we are to go and see, to draw near, to ponder the good news. How slow we are to care. How slow we are to pick up the word. How slow and dull our hearts are. I'm not saying anything mean about you. I'm talking about every Christian I've ever known, friends. We're slow, given how amazing this news is. So let me encourage you. I know you're busy right now. You know you got 1,000 things in your mind, and you're trying to keep them all there long enough to get them down on a piece of paper. I get it. But as soon as you can, make haste. Make haste to contemplate the good news of a King that's come down for you. And some of you may look back on this semester in a week or two and say, I ran past a lot of good things in Jesus this semester to chase some shiny things. You can do it differently next semester. You can draw near. You can make haste. He'll meet you there. And if you're one of the many folks that come every semester and you would say, I don't know what I think about any of this Jesus stuff, you're doing something great, friends. You're drawing near every week and you're asking. And I would encourage you to keep doing that. Keep coming. Because if it's true, this is so important. So come and ask and investigate. So secondly, after you draw near, join the shepherds in verse 17 in making known. They go out and share the good news with others. They didn't take any advanced evangelism classes. They just went and told people what they knew. And I'd love for you to do that, but you don't even have to do that. You can just invite people to come. You just invite them. If they don't want to come, that's okay. If you don't invite them to this, you can invite them to a Christmas party or a skiing trip or any number of other things we do. But you can invite them. And lastly, I want to leave you with this. I love this. Verse 20. What do? They returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen and heard. That's just really easy to read over and be like, okay, and went back home. I'm going to translate it. What happened here, what they did here that I want you to follow is they went back to work. They just went back to work. They went back to thankless sheep and sleepless nights. They went back to the grind. but they went back with joy in their hearts. Jesus' coming didn't change their circumstances, but it changed them completely forever. And that's such good news for us, friends. It's good news for us right here, right now. We so often want out of our ordinary. And so we distract ourselves with entertainment, whether it's Friday night frolicking or endless entertainment. We try to distinguish ourselves above the ordinary by our epic efforts. And we burn ourselves out. But what if it were possible to just be a human being whose ordinary daily life in the grind, as a student, as a worker, as a parent, were transformed by forever by the good news that someone amazing has come and entered into the ordinary, taken up residence there, that a king who would love his people so much that he would come and reside in a manger and then further humble himself, even to the point of death, death on a cross for you. That is good news that dropped into you and embraced can change you. Might not change any of your circumstances, but can change you. Change me from the inside out forever. An amazing, humble king who's come for us. Great joy right here and right now because Jesus has arrived. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I